This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
This is Robert Picardo, the emergency medical hologram from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Zachary Frueling, and with me, as always, is...
Suzanne Williamson.
Well, today, we are going to be finishing our series on Desert Island episodes from Season 7 of Star Trek Voyager, or the three episodes from an entire season that we would take with us to a desert island.
I don't believe we're finishing. We never finish anything. What are you talking about?
This is unusual for us to actually finish what we started.
I know. I don't like this feeling. It's empty.
Well, I have to say, right off the bat, Suzanne, you know I love all of Star Trek Voyager, but Season 7 is not my favorite season. My favorite seasons of Voyager are Seasons 4, 5, and 6. So we've had a great run of my favorite episodes doing our Desert Island series. But I was dreading doing Season 7 a little bit. I don't go to Season 7 as a season I go to watch Voyager a lot.
But there are a few really good episodes in Season 7, so don't sell it short.
Well, I guess that's what was surprising. I actually found more episodes than I thought I would. I had trouble whittling it down to three episodes.
Oh, whittling it down.
I know.
Chakotay would be so proud.
To bring our To the Journey memes full circle. Are some of your favorite episodes in Season 7 before we dive into our picks, Suzanne?
Yeah, actually, yes. I do have a few favorites in this season.
I know there's one in particular that you've mentioned a few times. I was wondering if it was on your list of like favorite Voyager episodes. For me, it made my honorable mentions, but I'm pretty sure I know which one is going to be on your list. At least one.
I'm sure if you thought about it, you could guess all three.
No. Maybe. Should I try right off the bat?
If you want to.
Okay. Wait, hold on. Let me pull up the list of episodes in the season. I'll try to do this. Hold on.
Okay. And if you're going to guess that one of them is human error, I can tell you right now, you're wrong.
Okay, I think I'm ready to guess.
Okay.
I'm going to guess that The Void is on your list.
No.
And no?
No.
I would have guessed The Void. You've talked up The Void before. Okay, well, right off the bat, I'm not in... I don't know you as well as I thought I did, Suzanne. Okay, my second guess is Drive.
No.
No? And Shattered.
Yes. Shattered is on my list.
Okay. Well, I got one out of three. That's not too bad. I don't know you at all, Suzanne.
Or not as well as you think you do.
Well, since Shattered is on your list, I might as well admit that it's on my list as well, and we can spend a minute talking about Shattered. Yay. What do you love about Shattered so much?
It's Chakotay heavy. He gets more than a scene.
Well, other than that. He finally gets more than a scene. You're right. It's basically an entire episode about Chakotay.
That, and it's what is essentially Voyager's clip show. Because you see things from the past. You get Seska back. You get angry B'Elanna back. You get Seven of Nine as a Borg. all these gems just coming out of nowhere and attacking your senses.
Yeah, it is a Voyager retrospective. You get to see a little bit of all seven seasons. Do you see something from all seven seasons? I haven't tried to figure that out.
Oh gosh, I haven't thought of that.
Okay, let's try it. Is there something from season one?
Seska. An angry B'Elanna. B'Elanna.
Yes, angry B'Elanna's back.
In her Maquis leathers.
Well, I guess part of it takes place before Voyager got stranded in the Delta Quadrant.
Yes.
Okay, so that's season one by default.
Yes.
Okay, how about season two?
Season two. What happens in season two?
I'm asking you because there's no chance I can remember this. I'm hoping you do.
The only thing I remember from season two is resolutions. So if you're going to pin all your hopes on remembering a season on
That's
me.
That's the only thing you remember from season two of Voyager?
Without looking it up.
It's a good thing to remember, but.
Tuvix. Tuvix happens in season two.
We don't get Tuvix in Shattered, though. But that's kind of a shame.
That would be kind of cool.
Revisiting Tuvix? Maybe Chakotay can rescue Tuvix.
Yeah.
Bring him back into the future.
I mean, he could have just been walking down the hallway. They could have just shown him. Didn't have to, like, interact, but it would have been cool to see Tuvix.
That would have been
again.
Random. Just walking down the hall.
And Chakotay passes by and is like, Tuvix. Oh, Tuvix, you're dead.
Sup, Tuvix.
Is any part of Twisted in there?
Which, it would be weird to have Twisted in Shattered.
That would be. It sounds like a Rolling Stones song.
Twisted and Shattered.
It should be. It should be a Rolling Stones song, Twisted and Shattered.
It sounds like Twist and Shout, actually. Twisted and Shattered. Twisted and Shattered. No?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all, no.
All right. I tried.
Yeah, I can't think of anything from season two that's in there.
Well, Seska is in season two, so.
Well, she's also in season one. Okay, so moving on to season three.
Season three. I'm actually cheating, and I'm looking at the list of episodes to see, have any of these moments been in... Oh, wait, Macrocosm.
Yes. Yes, I just thought of that. I was like, the giant
thing. Yeah, we get
macroviruses. Macrocosm's in there, yes. Okay.
Okay, okay, so season three is in there.
Season three represents.
Season four, we get Seven of Nine as a Borg.
Mm-hmm.
So season four is covered.
Season four is covered. Season five... they talk about the telepathic pitcher plant.
Yes. Telepathic pitcher plants. Such a Voyager thing.
It is. So season five
I love
it
to cover some of the Voyager weirdness, too. I mean, microviruses, telepathic pitcher plants. Voyager's got its weird moments.
Weirdest part of the job.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on.
Now we're on season six.
I was kind of hoping for a little more Fairhaven. Revisiting Fairhaven in season seven would have been okay.
No.
Oh, come on. You know I like Fairhaven.
I know.
Also known as Irish Candyland. I can't think of anything from season six that made it in. Mm-mm. What a missed opportunity to revisit Fairhaven.
Or the Voyager conspiracy.
And other than the fact that we're in season seven, I can't think of anything else from the few episodes that came before Shattered in season seven that made it in Shattered.
Yeah. Which, honestly, you really didn't need anything from season seven since it's happening in season seven.
Exactly. Okay. So for you, it's all about the Chakotay show, and Chakotay gets more lines than he's had in the previous six seasons.
Yes.
And I love the Voyager retrospective.
There's also the scene where he's showing up for dinner with the captain. Private dinner in her quarters. Hello.
Oh, yes.
And he's got his cider.
I can tell that makes your shipper heart run wild, Suzanne.
It does. It makes me so happy. That, and there's just a lot of really good lines in the episode from... Everybody. When Chakotay's telling younger Captain Janeway that you can't go back and change these things, you're going to meet these people, you're going to affect their lives, you're going to make their lives better. And he said, and that woman is going to be your chief engineer. And she's like, that angry woman? I love that. Just the way she says it.
That Klingon woman?
And even the doctor has a great line where he comes up with the serum to give Chakotay. Any other place this would happen, I'd receive a medal, but on Voyager, it's just another day in the unappreciated holographic doctor's life.
Well, that was fun to see because it had been a while since we'd seen the doctor feel unappreciated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he always is a little bit, but they really laid it on thick in season one.
Oh, yeah. Just all these little nuggets of fun and humor.
What shows how far the Voyager crew had come, you know, from barely knowing each other to being forced together, combining two crews to being a family stuck in the Delta Quadrant. It was a good chance to see how far the show had come.
So this is definitely going to end up in my hut.
Good. Mine too. So next on my list is Author.
Okay. That did not make my list, but it is a good episode. So why is that coming along with you?
You know, I think I mainly like Tom Paris's rewrite of the Doctor's Hollow novel with the mobile emitter that's, you know, the size of a scuba tank. The metaphorical existential weight of being a hologram.
And of course, you get Reg Barkley again for a little bit.
And in keeping with what we were saying a minute ago, it's another instance of the Doctor feeling unappreciated in season 7. It's another way of revisiting that Doctor meme that we hadn't seen in a while.
Oh, yes. In like full force, it comes back.
And I just love the title, Photons Be Free.
I don't like that. It sounds just so ridiculous to me.
You don't like Lieutenant Marseille?
Oh, no.
It's so campy. I love it.
He could have come up with a better name than Marseille from Paris. If you just think a little. Well,
but it has to do with where Sandrines is, right? Isn't that where the name came from? It's because Sandrines is in Marseille.
I just thought he was doing it because, okay, we're not going to go with Paris. Let's go with another city in France.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. It's definitely parallelism. I was just wondering if it was Marseille because Sandrines, Tom's Hollow program, is set in Marseille.
But still, you don't have to go with another town name in France. Go with something else. Could have been Smith. Could have been Jones. And why does he have a mustache?
Because it's not Tom Paris. Like, what else could they have done? Okay, other than give him a mustache, what could they have done?
So is it Nick Locarno then, if it's not Tom Paris?
Oh, that would be interesting. Sure, that would have been a great nod, you know, Lieutenant Locarno or something. That's a great idea. Tom Paris, a.k.a. not Nick Locarno.
And the Starship Vortex. That just sounds awful to begin with. I would not board the Starship Vortex.
It's kind of ominous sounding for a starship.
It is.
Might as well call it USS Disaster Zone.
It's the Titanic.
USS Titanic, yes. Don't get on that starship.
So what else about this episode is bringing you in?
I guess it raises interesting legal questions about the Doctor's ownership of his own work. You know, is he a person? Is he not a person? Does he have legal ownership over the things he produces, or are the things he produces just property? And maybe by extension, is he just property? So it raises these issues of holographic rights and property ownership. And, you know, kind of, it's a little Metatrexy for me. I like the philosophical questions raised by it. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about that much on To the Journey. It's more of a Metatrex thing, but I do like the revisiting of the Doctor's legal and even existential status. Like, what kind of being is he? Is he a real person or not? Whether in Starfleet's eyes and whether in the eyes of the Federation, or I guess in general, you know, is he the kind of being that can have ownership? I mean, we've kind of taken it for granted for all these years that the Doctor is, but it's interesting to, well, how to put this.
But we've also seen it happen before with Data. So we've been down this path, just with a different life form.
Yeah, and I'm not sure why it's any different for a hologram. Like, weren't these issues settled with Data? Why are they still an issue in the Federation with the Doctor? I mean, we've had 7 years of the Voyager crew getting used to the Doctor being a person. They had to they had to get used to the idea, right? In season one, no one thought of him as a person. He was basically a hypo spray. But so we, along with the Voyager crew, have gotten used to it. And, you know, everyone else in the Federation hasn't had that experience with the Doctor. The other EMH Mark I's are all busy mining dilithium.
But the Federation has run into sentient holograms before. Moriarty.
Yeah, why didn't anyone raise questions of Moriarty's rights when they basically imprisoned him inside a little cube on Captain Picard's desk?
Yeah. That was messed up. That was really messed up.
That was messed up, Captain Picard. Here's your cage, Moriarty. You'll get to live out the rest of your infinite existence imprisoned in a hollow cube.
I think I've seen that before in a Superman movie.
Oh, yeah.
Kneel before Zod.
Kneel before Moriarty. Yeah, Yeah, I guess. So what was so different about holographic rights as opposed to rights for androids? How is this an issue 7 years after The Next Generation ended?
Yeah, I have no idea. Doesn't make sense, Federation. Get your stuff together.
And I think I like that the Doctor has to eat a little bit of crow because he basically insulted all of his friends and he has to own up to it by the end of the episode. And he tucks his tail between his legs a little bit. He needed to be brought down a peg, and Tom Paris did the job.
Now, I do like the very, very ending of the episode where you see all the EMH Mark I's, and they're sort of covertly passing photons be free to each other.
Yes. Yeah, it's like this banished text that, you know, is gone underground.
Yeah, good stuff.
I pictured a little bit like maybe like early Christianity or something, like passing around these ideas, like, hey, have you heard about so-and-so? Oh, you know, kind of spreading the ideas all underground so you don't get executed by the Roman emperor.
So they're knocking on people's doors. Have you heard about
proselytizing? Yes. Have you heard about Photons Be Free? Come to our next meeting. Yeah. So I guess I like it because it's just a fun episode, but it has some soul to it, and it raises some interesting questions about the Doctor, but it's still just a fun episode. It doesn't sacrifice the fun of the episode for the sake of those deeper questions that it raises. So I gather Author was not on your list.
It was not. It was not on my list, no. The next one coming with me is Body and Soul.
Oh, that's on my list. That's number three on my list. Wow, we're going through these pretty quickly. Two out of three overlap. That's unusual for us.
That is very unusual.
Since you don't tend to like my picks.
And you don't tend to like mine.
I like all of Voyager. What do you mean? Fairhaven and all. Well, what do you like about Body and Soul? I really think there's only one thing to like about Body and Soul, and that's why it's on my list, but...
It comes down to Jerry Ryan's acting.
Absolutely.
That's what it all comes down to.
It's an amazing portrayal.
It's just amazing.
It's not too often you get to see an actor portray another actor, especially when their styles are so different. Like, Jerry Ryan is nothing like Bob Picardo in terms of their acting style, but just for her to basically pantomime Bob Picardo and channel him so well, it's an amazing just tour de force of acting ability, I think. And it's so much fun.
The cheesecake scene above everything else, just putting the fork in, putting it in the mouth, and it's like, oh, this is amazing. Yeah. Just that's how I feel about cheesecake. Yes.
Other than Jerry Ryan's performance, I actually think it's just a lackluster episode. It's not that interesting of an episode to me. It's all about Jerry Ryan portraying the Doctor.
Yes. Yes, it is. Because I can't really tell you much, other than that, much else of what happens.
Yeah. How many times have we watched this and we can't remember the plot?
I think Harry's in the episode somewhere.
Yeah. Wait, is that right? Is Harry stuck there with them?
Yeah. Pretty
How
sure
can I not
Harry.
Remember that? Yeah, that's right. Harry's there too, right?
Yeah.
Poor Garrett. His scenes are so forgettable compared to Jerry Ryan's in this one. Talk about being overshadowed.
He didn't stand a chance. But again, we run into an alien race that doesn't trust holograms. I mean, we've run into that before with different species along the way. But
yeah, what's with the anti-hologram sentiment, both in the Federation and in the Delta Quadrant? Like, where did this come from?
I don't know, but it goes anti-hologram and also anti-telepath is usually what we end up with.
Mm-hmm. Boy, people are so prejudiced in the 24th century.
They sure are.
I thought we were all supposed to evolve a bit beyond that by the 24th century.
We just find different things to dislike about each other, that's all.
Is there anything else noteworthy about Body and Soul that you can think of?
I am trying to think. There's got to be some quotes.
I'm on the edge of rethinking my pick because I can't think of anything else about the episode that I really like, but still I think it's such a good performance. It outweighs all of the faults of the episode and outweighs even the episodes on my honorable mentions list, which is quite long, and we're going to cover that in here in a minute.
It's just a fun episode to watch. That's why I want to bring it along. It's fun.
It is. Just like Author is fun for me, and Shattered is fun for me. All my picks are fun episodes this time.
We get holographic T'Pel in this episode. So that's memorable.
Oh, yeah. I'd forgotten that. I had almost forgotten that was in this episode because I didn't rewatch all of season 7 before we recorded. Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of hologram action in season 7.
it's about time they got some action.
Even Seven of Nine has some holographic moments with Chakotay in Season 7. Season 7 has a lot of holographic stuff going on. All the interesting stuff in Voyager isn't real. It either didn't happen because of a reset button, or it's in the holodeck.
That doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Just like the Doctor is a real person, even though he's a hologram. Exactly. Just because it's a hologram doesn't mean it's not real. Exactly. Flesh and blood, photons and force fields, six of one, half a dozen of the other. You know what else I love about Body and Soul? I love Seven of Nine's reaction to what the Doctor has done in her body.
You became sexually aroused in my body.
That is one of the weirdest lines ever.
And the look on his face afterwards is, yes.
Are we sure Voyager is family friendly?
For the most part. Okay, so moving off of Body and Soul, what is next on your list?
Well, we covered all three. We covered all three of mine.
Really? We did.
Shattered, Author, Body and Soul.
So that leaves me with Repression.
Oh God, wait a minute. Which one is that one?
Tiro.
Which one?
The one with Tiro.
Why am I forgetting this?
Where he sends a message and it's in Tuvok's letter from his son, and it activates Tuvok to go and attack the Maki and make them remember who they are.
Oh, that one?
Yes.
You like that one? Okay, I misspoke when I said I like all of Voyager.
Seriously?
I don't care for that one bit, really. Yeah, I mean, it's okay, but I pass that one all the time. Like, not that one.
Chakotay, Maki Leather.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Okay.
Do you understand now?
Yeah, you are that predictable.
Well, besides that, which makes it worth watching, you get Tuvok, and he's doing his best Columbo impersonation. He's trying to figure out who attacked Tuvok the guy in the movie theater. And then it's like, it's me. So it's good stuff.
Okay, yeah, it's not terrible. It's just, you had to remind me which episode it was, and that says a lot about what I think of the episode. I do like the movie theater inside a holodeck shtick. I think that's interesting.
Yes. Watching a 3D movie, no less.
I just wonder if it would be that retro. Like, has the concept of a movie completely gone away in the 24th century in favor of holo novels and, you know, holographic experiences? Or is there still an audience for movies in the traditional sense? Is it retro or is it contemporary?
There probably is still movies, but not, you know, a 1950s 3D horror movie. That is totally retro and totally Tom.
I don't know off the top of my head who wrote this episode, but I get the sense that whoever wrote the final scene of everyone wearing their 3D glasses watching the movie had that scene in mind when they wrote the entire episode.
So that's where they started and just built an episode around it.
Worked backwards, yeah. Why don't they watch movies in the holodeck more? Oh yeah, let's put 3D glasses on them. Okay, let's write an episode around that. I guess that's what I like about the episode, that and not much else. Even though you get Chakotay and Leather.
That makes it worthwhile.
Which is more of a you thing. Yeah.
But it's going in my hut, so that's why it should be about me.
It's all right. I'd come over and watch it. It's okay. Only with 3D glasses, though. Can we watch the episode with 3D glasses?
I don't think we'll gain much from it, but sure. As long as we don't have to watch Attack of the Lobster People.
Well, you know I like old cheesy movies. It's the Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah. But I still have to wonder, how did Starfleet let this message get through to Tuvok in the first place? Were they not running like antivirus on any of these mail messages that they're just sending on their way?
I guess it's the 24th century equivalent of don't click on the attachment.
Starfleet should have caught that. They were sleeping on the job.
Yeah, Starfleet's antivirus people. Drop the ball.
Yep. They need new IT people.
24th century Trojan horse.
I mean, I'm just bringing this along because it's an enjoyable episode for me. And I'm not leaving this one behind. I want Repression.
And it beats out the rest of Season 7 for you.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay. Well, let's dive into our honorable mentions. I've got a pretty long list of honorable mentions.
Oh, I only have two.
Oh, I have, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I have 8.
Jeez Louise.
that I wish I could take with me to the desert island that I have to leave behind, sadly. And that's more than I would have guessed for season 7.
That's a lot. I only have 2.
I know.
Now I feel bad.
a couple of them are going to make you roll your eyes, I know.
Workforce. Is workforce one of them?
No, I can't stand workforce. That's up okay. there with the one you just mentioned that's on your list that I can't even remember the name of because it's so forgettable, even though I love the 3D movie part of it.
Repression.
Right, I've repressed repression. Yeah. Okay, so I've got an honorable mentions list. Drive, okay. Which I thought might have been on your list.
No, I don't like that episode. I could. You not like really. That episode.
I only like it because of the white uniforms, but...
No, I don't even like that. This is one that I skip. I could just do without it.
Really? Yeah. For some reason, I had in mind that you liked that episode, and I guess I just misremembered. Mm-hmm. Okay, I would take Critical Care.
Yeah, I don't really like that either.
Okay. I would take... These are 2 episodes I can't really separate, Lineage and Prophecy. I kind of lump those 2 together.
They're all right. Just all right, though.
You know, like Tom Paris trying to, you know, fight the Klingon to the death?
No, because everybody knows they would just break him in half in like a second. Tom, you don't stand a chance.
Even with a mustache, Lieutenant Marseille wouldn't stand the chance. And neither would Nick Locarno, for that matter.
No, just snapped right in half.
I do like the idea that Maral is basically the Klingon messiah, the Kuva Mach.
But is she really? Idea. Is she really?
Yeah. She meets all the criteria, right?
I don't understand that because she's only going to be a quarter Klingon.
Doesn't say it has to be a full-blood Klingon.
That's
not written down anywhere. Haven't you read it?
Have you?
Didn't they knock on your door and ask you to read it?
I only get the holograms wanting to talk about photons be friends.
Okay. I get the Klingons knocking on my door. You get the holograms knocking on your door. I've got it. Okay.
That's because we're in different parts of the country. Maybe they'll, you know, crisscross eventually.
Got it. Okay. I'm kind of surprised you didn't put Lineage on your list, though.
No.
Nope. It's not. You're right. It's not as fun of an episode as the ones we put on our list. That's true.
Yeah. I'm stuck on a desert island. I don't want sad, depressing daddy issue stuff.
Okay, fair enough. I did put The Void on my list, and I have you to thank for that, because not on my main list, but on my honorable mentions list, because I used to go, oh, The Void, I hate that one, and you totally convinced me that it's a good episode.
It is
when we talked
episode.
About it previously.
That did not make my honorable mentions, though.
Also known as Captain Janeway refounds the Federation and the Delta Quadrant.
Somebody had to. It was up to her.
somebody had to do it. I put Q2 on my honorable mentions list.
That's on mine too. Yay, Q2.
I thought it might be. I was leaning towards Q2 being on your list, yeah.
Oh, come on. Q in the bathtub.
Yes.
You can't pass up Q in the bathtub. Anytime I can get Q.
I mean, I can't stand Q Jr., but that's the whole point. He plays it so well.
Mm-hmm. And Itchy.
Yes.
That is the best nickname for Ichab ever. Itchy.
Itchy.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure this is not on your honorable mentions list, Friendship 1, but I like Friendship 1.
No. No, it is not.
Because that's where we lose Joe Carey.
You just had to pour salt in the wound.
Yep. Moment of silence, everyone, for Joe Carey.
Pour one out for Joe.
And unlike most of Voyager's moments, this really did happen.
You have to keep digging at it, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Admiral Janeway, really, what was so hard about going back just a little further so you could save Joe?
It's funny you mention Admiral Janeway because Endgame is actually on my honorable mentions list. I know you totally disagree with me on this, but I like Endgame.
Boo.
Most people disagree with me on this. I like Endgame. I'm in the minority completely.
No, I think I am. I think most people do like it. It just left such a bad taste in my mouth to end my favorite Star Trek that way that I just can't get over it.
I just wish we had a little more time for the homecoming itself, which we get in the novels. One of the few Star Trek novels I've read is Homecoming, which is a great novel. See, this is a hashtag I've read the book, so take that. I wish Endgame had been a little more like that.
No, not books. Book.
A book, yeah. No, I've read a couple of Star Trek novels. I read some of the old early Next Generation novels way back in the day.
Imzadi.
Yeah, I've read that. I've read, there's one I really like called Rock and a Hard Place.
Not familiar with that one.
You'd like it. It's got some good shipper stuff in it.
Oh, okay. I shall write that down and check it out.
Yep. Actually, my favorite, while we're on this tangent, my favorite of the old, like relatively early Next Generation novels is Boogeyman. Mm-hmm. That's a great novel.
I know I've read it, but it's escaping me right now what it was about.
I don't remember most of it, actually, but it has the kind of classic, are we still in the holodeck? Are we not really still mm-hmm. in the holodeck kind of holodeck play? You know, they think they're outside the holodeck, but really they're still in the holodeck. And at the time, I found that remarkably interesting before we saw it on screen in The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Okay, that was quite a tangent. So I've read a few Star Trek novels. So take that, all you hashtag read the books people. And I have one more on my honorable mentions list, and that is Homestead.
Really?
Yeah, even though we lose Neelix from the series, I think it's a touching episode.
You just like that Tuvok dances.
I do like dancing Tuvok, yes. Well, Neelix told Tuvok he was going to get him to dance.
I still think Neelix's choice is based upon that he only has one lung, and he doesn't know how much longer it's going to, you know, keep working, so he needs a Talaxian lung nearby so he can harvest to replace his O'Conflin lung.
So when Neelix looks at Dexa, he just says, my, what nice lungs you have.
I actually think he would take it from Brax because his lungs are younger.
Wow, okay. I have to say, I read that episode completely differently than you did.
That's just always how I saw it. I was like, Neelix knows that lung isn't going to last much longer. He's playing the long game. My last honorable mention, which I thought you would put on your list, but I guess you didn't, is Renaissance Man.
Oh, wait, hold on. Remind me, which one is that one again? I'm so bad at this.
The big poop-looking aliens. And the doctor has to pretend to be the captain, and he has to pretend to be... He's pretending to be all these different crew members that he's put into stasis.
Oh, yeah. No, that's not one of my favorite episodes, actually.
I like it because, once again, we get to see one of the actors trying to portray another of the actors in their body. It's just, yeah, I like it. It's fun.
It is fun. Maybe I need to rewatch that episode. I haven't watched it in a while, and I didn't even think to put this one on my honorable mentions list, and maybe I should have.
Oh, when the captain and the doctor are being held captive by the hierarchy aliens, and the doctor is like, I'm sorry I put you in this position, and the captain says, well, you said you wanted us to spend more time together.
That is a good line. That's not quite what I meant, Captain.
Yes.
Are there other memorable lines for you?
The very last lines of the episode, where the captain and the doctor are going into the holodeck to spend some time together. And the captain's like, when you're on the holodeck with the captain, there are two rules you have to follow. First, leave your rank at the door. And he's like, the second, no opera.
I almost thought you were going to say go down with the ship, but that's a different episode where she quotes the rules, right? Doesn't she?
Yes, that is a much different episode.
Yeah, I was really surprised how many episodes from season 7 made it on my honorable mentions list. When I sat down to make my list, I was like, oh, season 7, what do I like in season 7? And I came up with my main picks pretty easily, but then I was like, oh, I do like a lot of these episodes in season 7, more than I'd remembered.
Oh my gosh.
Did we forget one?
I forgot. No, I forgot with Renaissance Man, the doctor thinks that his program's going to decompile, and he starts telling all these people.
Oh, yes.
What he feels, and he tells Seven, I know you could never have the same feelings for me, but I want you to know the truth. I love you, Seven.
Yeah, how did I forget that? You're right. It's so embarrassing for the doctor.
It is.
Well, I'm pleased we agreed on 2 out of 3 this time. That's more. Mm-hmm. It's better than we usually do.
It is.
Of course, I kind of feel like if we were actually going to be stranded on a desert island, we should pick different ones so we can have more Voyager episodes to watch. If we pick the same three, we'd be watching the same three episodes all the time, again and again.
Oh, well.
If we have different picks, we get to watch 6 episodes again and again and again.
Sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't.
Sometimes you're the windshield. Sometimes you're the bug. Well, Suzanne, it's been quite a journey doing 7 seasons of Desert Island Picks. But this isn't the only thing we've been talking about here on Trek FM this past week, so here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Literary Treks.
Like you said, some of the recent novels have gone with Commander Una, which is, if I'm remembering correctly, they explain a name she's kind of adopted because she got tired of people just calling her number one or something like that. But it's still referring to this backstory of her being the best of the best, being perfect from Illyria, which is a planet that embraces genetic manipulation, I think, and you know, that sort of thing, and breeding for the absolute best. And she was number one in her generation or something like that.
Melodic Treks.
So, but after I watched Star Trek Voyager, and, you know, I was aware of the existence of the Mini Moog Voyager, I mean, it didn't take me long to just, like, oh, it would be cool one day, like, if I could acquire the synth, you know, like, the first thing I'd do with it is redo the Star Trek Voyager theme with it, then wouldn't that be fun, you know, the Star Trek Voyager theme we've performed by the Mini Moog Voyager, right?
Warp 5.
So I'm going to go to Sleeping Dogs for my next episode here. Now, at this point in Star Trek, I'm really tired of the Klingons, and I was on my original watch of Enterprise, and I still am. I'm really, really tired of the Klingons. So, did I say the right episode? Sleeping Dogs, I said, right?
Yes.
You're just looking at me funny here. I'm like, did I say Shadows of Pajam?
No, you said Sleeping Dogs.
Okay, good. So,
The Edge, a Star Trek Discovery podcast.
She is with a fake Hammond, but she even says, well, it's you, but it's really only my memory of you.
Right.
Like, that line is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
I'm not the sappiest person on the planet by any stretch of the imagination. Anyone who has heard me talk for months on this network knows that. But this is heartbreaking stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on your iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, and most third-party podcast apps, and you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link as well. Wait, why do we still have Windows? Does anyone have a Windows Phone? Why is that even in the list anymore? Does anyone even know what that is?
What's nostalgic. A Windows Phone?
That's so 5 years ago, right?
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to share your thoughts with us. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners-only group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field, and it'll come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose Message to a Trek.fm Show and select To the Journey. That'll come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at TrekFM, and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. So, Zachary, when you're not busy pirating a copy of Photons Be Free, where can our listeners find you on the internet and elsewhere on the network?
I have an autographed first edition. What are you talking about?
You would.
Yes, I would. Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of Metatrek's Trek FM show on Star Trek and philosophy. You can always find me in the Babel Conference if you'd like to talk about Voyager with me in there, and you're welcome to follow me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G. And how about you, Suzanne? When you're not getting aroused with Chakotay in your body, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network? I'm glad I made your day, Suzanne.
Wow, it's going to take me a moment to recover from that, but I think it's a little warm in here. You can find me popping up in the Babel Conference. You can also find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8.
Well, if you'd like to help us keep all of our shows coming to each week, we invite you to become a patron of the network on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/trekfm, that's patreon.com/trekfm, to get all the details. Perks include early access to episodes, exclusive content, producer credits, and many more, all available through our special patrons website, the Patron Zone. It requires a great deal of money to produce, host, and distribute these shows each month. We really appreciate any support you can give us, and we hope you'll join the team. Again, you'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm.
Well, there are a few people we would like to thank. First and foremost being C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek.fm, who, most people don't know this, he was an extra in Attack of the Lobster People.
I didn't know that.
Learn something new every day, huh? Executive producers Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp, Aaron Harvey, our art director, Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon Shematella, our Patreon manager. Also, a very big thank you to our associate producers Bruce Lish, Ju Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau. Thank you for your continued support of To the Journey and Trek FM.
Well, be sure to join us next time when Suzanne and I will be doing our own rewrite of Photons Be Free. But until then, this has been To the Journey.